supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger, to let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salam to all of you. So welcome to today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about hypocrisy in Islam. So join us.
Without your warmth, without your smile, without you by my side, the world was so cold, I felt so lost. Without your light, I felt so blind.
Today, Friday, is the 19th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 3rd of day, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 24th of December, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is the second chapter of the Holy Quran, chapter Al-Baqarah, verse 8.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. ومن الناس من يقول آمنا بالله وباليوم الآخر وما هم بمؤمنين.
And of the people are some who say, we believe in Allah and the last day, but they are not believers.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The verses state a short but very expressive explanation on hypocrites and their spiritual specialties and characteristics illustrated by their actions. Attention should be attracted to the faith that, in a special period of its sensitive historical course, Islam was faced with a specific group among the whole of the people who neither had the courage to truly accept the invitation of Islam nor had the power and boldness to openly oppose it.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close, close to you.
Hypocrisy in Islam. Hypocrisy is a kind of disease that spiritually corrupts a person's heart. A person who is displaying his religious self to the people, whereas concealing greater kufr inside, is punished by Allah on the Day of Judgment. He has declared hellfire as the eternal abode of such people displaying false affection towards the people of Iman and Islam. Hypocrites might get away in this world with kufr in their heart, but on the Day of Judgment, they'll be thrown away to the hellfire to sow what they reaped all their lives. The munafiquns, or hypocrites, will be at the lowest depths of the hell due to the kufr or hypocrisy they had concealed inside while showing complete support towards the right deen, Islam. Allah is the knower of all things, and they won't be able to get away with the punishment that Allah has decided for them, and they'll be questioned about their hypocrisy and face the consequences of their extreme hypocrisy. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin ista'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the problem of hypocrisy. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa idha qila lahum ta'alu ila ma anzalallahu wa ila ar-rasul ra'aita al-munafiqina yasudduna 'anka sududa. When it's said to them, come to whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed and come to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you find that, you see that, you consider that, the hypocrites try not to admit your invitation, okay? Not only do they don't believe in the Islamic religion, but they wouldn't make any attempt, I mean, any effort in order to come closer to you. So we find that, I mean, the hypocrites are, such people who not only don't believe in the right cause, they don't make any effort in order to get closer to the believers' community. Another Quranic verse in this regard is in this way: إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Certainly, the hypocrites try to play trick on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They try to play trick. They try to cheat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better how to cheat them. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى. When they are invited to perform salat, they are not that much inspired. يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They do something, but not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They want just to pretend to other Muslims, to other people, that they are believers. Quite explicitly, the Holy Quran in the Surah At-Tawbah, verse 67, indicated it in this way: المنافقون والمنافقات بعضهم من بعض يأمرون بالمنكر وينهون عن المعروف. the hypocrites, I mean, male and female hypocrites, some of them teach others. And this is the characteristic. They invite people to do vices, and they prevent people from doing good. We hope to be away from being hypocrites. Thank you.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
The continuation of today's special by looking at the effects of nifaq or hypocrisy. Being subdued and humble in front of the people, idolizing people and considering them more powerful, influential, and wealthier than Allah. This is against one's claim that Allah is Almighty and of only worshipping Allah if one's outward state truly mirrored his inward reality. He wouldn't be afraid of people or influenced by their wealth or power and fear no deity except Allah. Second effect is being humble, fearful, and subdued in front of all external phenomena, yet neglectful towards the really powerful Allah, the first cause. Yet, with this state of mind, asserting faith in the unity of Allah. In this state, such a person is a foreigner to the community of believers and belongs to the group of hypocrites and the double tongue and will be resurrected with them. Thank you for being to today's special. Now we'll look at how to cure hypocrisy in Islam. Understanding the meaning of the Quran. Reading and reciting the Quran is not enough. You should understand the meaning too. If you happen to not speaking Arabic, Quran has been translated to all languages in the world. You will find the purpose of human creation in the Quran and will no longer become a hypocrite. The second clue is committing good deeds. Commit as many good deeds as possible after repenting and asking for Allah's forgiveness, as good deeds will help to erase the bad one.
When we come to the Quran, we see that the Quran defines hypocrisy as concealing disbelief while showing belief. Concealing disbelief while pretending to be Muslim, while pretending to be a believer. The Quran says, إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُهُ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. The Quran tells us of the hypocrites that come to Rasulullah and they testify that he's the messenger of Allah. They say with their words that he's the messenger, but in their hearts, they have disbelief. This is a hypocrite. There are some that accuse the Shia, followers of Ahlul Bayt, of hypocrisy. They say, you Shia, you followers of Ahlul Bayt, you practice taqiyya. And taqiyya is a form of hypocrisy. You believe in one thing, but you practice another to save your lives. Isn't this hypocrisy? No, it is not hypocrisy. Because according to the Quranic definition of hypocrisy, hypocrisy is to conceal disbelief while showing belief. Taqiyya is exactly the opposite. It is concealing belief, but showing disbelief. It is completely the opposite. Taqiyya is not hypocrisy. If taqiyya is hypocrisy, why does the Quran encourage taqiyya? The Quran acknowledges Ammar ibn Yasir. Ammar ibn Yasir was forced to denounce Islam and to believe in the idols of Quraysh when he saw his mother, Sumayya, the first martyr in Islam, and his father, Yasir, killed in front of his eyes. He denounced the Shahadatain and he accepted the idols of Quraysh by his tongue only. But his heart was full of faith. He came to Rasulullah crying and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I said the words of kufr. Rasulullah told him, Ya Ammar, tell me about your heart. Don't tell me about your tongue. Is your heart, does it have disbelief or belief? He says, Ya Rasulullah, my heart is full of belief. Then he says, Ya Ammar, you are safe. In fact, if they come back to you again, repeat exactly what you did. And the following verse was revealed. Illa man ukriha wa qalbuhu mutma'innun bil iman. The Quran tells us about Mu'min al Quraysh, the believer from the family of the Pharaoh, who concealed belief, but he showed disbelief. وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَكْتُمُ إِيمَانَ. He came to Musa. The Quran told us of a man who concealed his belief, yet showed disbelief. وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَكْتُمُ إِيمَانَ. The verse calls him a believer. He conceals his faith. Thus, taqiyya is not. Taqiyya is not disbelief. Taqiyya is not hypocrisy.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic, hypocrisy in Islam, on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Till another visiting, thank you very much, and we leave you in Allah's blessings. Have a nice time.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Hello dear listeners, and greetings to our Christian listeners on the eve of Christmas, which the West regards as birthday of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, whom Islam considers as one of the five greatest messengers of God. Here we present you a prophecy about the advent of the last prophet by the virgin-born Messiah, as mentioned in the Gospel of St. Barnabas. Know, O Barnabas, that for this I must have great persecution, and shall be sold by one of my disciples, that is Judas Iscariot, for 30 pieces of money. Whereupon I'm sure that he who shall sell me shall be slain in my name, for that God shall take me up from the earth and shall change the appearance of the traitor, so that everyone shall believe him to be me. Nevertheless, when he dies an evil death, I shall abide in that dishonor for a long time in the world. But when Muhammad shall come, the holy messenger of God, that infamy shall be taken away. And this shall God do because I have confessed the truth of the Messiah, who shall give me this reward, that I shall be known to be alive, to be a stranger to that death of infamy.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. One of the things that we as Muslims should understand, that every single thing that we do, it's a very deep philosophical discussion, but we don't want to get into the philosophy, that every single thing that we do, think, say, has a existential effect. I mean, it comes into existence and it has an impact on us, good or bad, depending on what the thing is that we have done. Therefore, we understand that actions are related to things beyond the physical realm. There is a link between this realm and the next one. And again, this is a very, you know, philosophical discussion in explaining the existence of the other realms that are here. That philosopher, just as a brief explanation, the philosophers believe in four realms. That is the realm of ilah, or the divine realm, the realm of the aql, or the intellectual realm, the realm of khayal, or mithal, which is known as the imaginative realm, and then obviously this material realm, or the, what is known as the madda, the material realm. Again, we don't want to get into the explanation of these four. So basically what is understood is that an act that is done here obviously impacts the others as well. There is a lane and a chain. And this tradition that the Hazrat Zahra Salam Allah Alayha mentioned and we would like to share indicates this. That there is a chain and a link via our good deeds that will not leave us. They will take us and they will be shown to us later on. The results will come to us. So she says, quoting her beloved father, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again she says that قَالَ أَبِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that indeed, surely, stay away from stinginess, or بُخْل, right, stinginess. For surely that tree of stinginess is from the fire, right, it's from the fire. So obviously an act that you do has impact in the next realm. The roots of that tree are in this world. So the roots of that tree are in this world. So that person who attaches himself to those roots of the tree of bukhl that is in the fire of hell, that tree of stinginess and greediness that is in that, you know, the fire of hell, if he attaches himself to it, those roots that are in this world from a tree that is sourced somewhere else will obviously then take him to the fire. Therefore, the opposite is also true in terms of the good deeds if a person is generous. So therefore, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, obviously generous doesn't mean that you will go to the fire, no. What we mean generosity is that if a person will go to Jannah and to paradise, that the good stuff will come to you, inshaAllah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be of those who are, you know, generous, and not of those who are stingy and greedy. InshaAllah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسانا ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all of the dear listeners of this program, and thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts. First, we are going to talk about a famous Quran reciter. Then, we are going to listen to a recitation by that reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. Well, today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Mahmoud Abdul Hakam. This great Egyptian reciter was born in 1915. At the age of 10, he managed to memorize the Noble Quran completely within 2 years. In 1940, along with Sheikh Muhammad Rifat and Sheikh Ali Mahmoud, Sheikh Mahmoud Abdul Hakam established the first association of the Quran reciter. In 1944, he joined Egyptian Quran Radio, and he passed away in 1982 at the age of 67. May Allah bless him. Now let's listen to the recitation of verses 20 to 23 of Suratul Mu'minun, recited by Sheikh Mahmoud Abdul Hakam, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
كتاب الله كتاب الله
كتاب الله.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. And a tree that springs forth from Mount Sinai that grows oil and is a relish for the eaters. And verily, in the cattle there is indeed a lesson for you. We give you to drink of that which is in their bellies, and there are in them numerous benefits for you, and of them you eat. And on them and on ships you are carried. And indeed we sent Noah to his people, and he said, O my people, worship Allah. You have no other God but him. Will you not then be afraid? But the chiefs of those who disbelieved among his people said, He is no more than a human being like you. He seeks to make himself superior to you. Had Allah willed, he surely could have sent down angels. Never did we hear such a thing among our fathers of old.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Suratul Mu'minun, verses 20 to 23, recited by Sheikh Mahmoud Abdul Hakam. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, Sheikh Mahmoud Abdul Hakam recited these beautiful verses of the Quran in Maqam Sika and also Maqam Huzam, which is a branch of Maqam Sika. Sheikh Abdul Hakam has a very deep voice. He has a very, his qarar is a very low note. For example, it's sol, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, si, do. It's sol. It's the lower sol, okay? And he has a very good voice. And in this recitation, he used the jawabat as well as the qarar of his voice. And he recited them very beautifully. I really enjoyed this recitation. In these verses, we had many, many rules of tajweed. We had ikhfa, we had idgham,
and iqlab.
Yes, we had mad, madul muttasil, and some other rules of tajweed. Okay. Verse number 20. وَشَجَرَةً تَخْرُجُ. First of all, the word shajara, the ra has to be pronounced with thickness, with tafkhim, with velarization. The back of the tongue is raised.
Yes.
We have a full mouth when pronouncing this letter.
That's right.
وَشَجَرَة, شَجَرَةً. And so the thing that causes the thickness is the velarization. The back of the tongue is raised toward the velum.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's called velarization. It comes from the word velum, which is also known as the soft palate. Then we have a rule of ikhfa. Shajaratan takhruju. Okay, here it is a tanween, and tanween and nun sakina are essentially the same in terms of the rules that are applied to them. Okay? So if you see a tanween, you have to know that it's a rule of nun sakina.
Yes.
Okay? And here we have a ta after the tanween.
That is a letter of ikhfa.
It's a letter of ikhfa. It's not a letter of izhar or idgham or iqlab. It's a letter of ikhfa, which we said that they are the remaining letters, huruf ma baqi, whatever remains other than the letters of idgham,
three groups that you mentioned.
Yes. Izhar, huruf al-halqiyya, which are hamza, ha, ha, kha, ayn, and ghain.
Yes.
And the one letter of iqlab. And whenever ikhfa takes place, you should not pronounce nun sakina from its own place of articulation.
Yes.
You have to approximate the place of articulation of the letter of ikhfa, the next letter after the tanween or nun sakina. It means that, approximation means that the articulator which is used to pronounce ta, okay, when we say articulator, we could mean the tongue, the lips,
the teeth,
or even
alveolary,
the throat sometimes. Okay. Whatever is used to produce the sound of a letter is called an articulator. So the articulator of ta is the tongue. Okay. So we have to approximate the place of articulation of ta. We bring the head of the tongue, which is used for pronouncing ta, really close to the gum line behind the upper front teeth. Ta.
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 But we do not touch, actually.
But we don't make a touch. We say, وَشَجَرَةً تَخْرُجُ.
وَشَجَرَةً
تَخْرُجُ. It gets really close to the place of articulation of ta. We hold the tongue in this position for two vowel counts while we apply
nasalization.
وَشَجَرَةً تَخْرُجُ. وَشَجَرَةً تَخْرُجُ. This is ikhfa. Okay, we have another ikhfa. Mil-turi. Mil-turi. Now, the letter of ikhfa here is another letter. It's not ta, it's ta. But in fact, they have the same place of articulation.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is that ta also has tafkhim. And so we have to show the tafkhim and also the itbaq.
Yeah,
it's a foreign, yes. It's the strongest letter in the Arabic alphabet. And we have to raise the root of the tongue while applying the ikhfa, and also the body of the tongue.
Yes.
The back of the tongue also. So, mil-turi. It's like we are applying the tafkhim while we are applying the ikhfa. There are other rules of tajweed in these verses as well. We don't have time to go over all of them. But let's mention the last one, which is Sayna'a. This is Matul Muttasil.
A conjunct man.
Yes. And Mad al-Muttasil takes place whenever there is a hamza after a long vowel. And the hamza has to be in the same word as that long vowel.
Okay.
And this is Mad al-Muttasil. You can lengthen it to 4 or 5 vowel counts.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان هو القرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو القرآن
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints
The presence of different scholars
And God said, let there be light And there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. And my guest today, as always, Brother Hussein and Sayyid Abdullah. Brother Hussein, Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum salam, glad to be here.
Welcome. And Sayyid Abdullah, Assalamu alaikum, welcome to the program again.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. In this series of programs, Viewpoint or the Movie Critique Program, we are mainly focusing on the religious concepts rather than the artistic features typical of so-called critical programs about arts and artistic characteristics of the movies. So our main purpose is to address those features and themes which are related about religion and God and whatsoever that goes with that territory. Well, today, let's start criticizing the movie 90 Minutes in Heaven. This is a 2015 Christian drama film directed by Michael Polish and starring Hayden Christensen, Kate Bosworth, Dwight Yoakam, Michael W. Smith, and so on and so forth. All right. Well, this is about a priest who's involved in a horrific car crash or car accident, pronounced dead at the scene. But 90 minutes later, having been brought to a hospital, he returns to life and claims to have seen heaven and visited with the deceased relative while he was there, while he was in a coma or something like that, you know.
Well, before starting our questions and critique of this movie, let's take a listen to a part of the trailer, and then we'll be back.
I was the father of three children, the husband of a wonderful wife, a man with a great future. On January 18th, 1989, I died. When I woke up, I was in heaven.
The man in the red Ford is deceased. I'd like to pray for him.
He's alive!
Back to the program. Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio, with me, Mohammad Javad, hosting this program, and Brother Hussein and Sayyid Abdullah in the studio talking about and criticizing the movie 90 Minutes in Heaven. Brother Hussein, let me start with you, right? What do you think of this movie? Was it attractive to you?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Attractive? I wouldn't call it attractive.
Mm-hmm.
But I found it quite intriguing. You know, I actually like the interview they had with Don Piper more mm-hmm. than the actual
yes.
movie adaptation.
I see.
The actual film was really boring. I mean, you know, like more than half of the film is just him sleeping in a hospital bed, I think. But the fact that the event happened, like in real life,
mm-hmm.
really makes you think about, you know, when, where, and, you know, who miracles happen to. I mean, you know, how is the experience, and what steps would a person take to recover from, you know, that experience?
I see. Okay, Sayyid Abdullah, you know, this movie basically received negative reviews from critics, all right? For example, 26% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes based on 23 reviews, with an average rating of 4.6 out of 10. Or Metacritic gives the film a score of 28 out of 100 based mm-hmm. on reviews from 9 critics. So generally unfavorable reviews. What do you think?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, I don't blame them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anyone who watches the movie, it's like when you read the title of the movie itself, it gives you the impression it's going to be about heaven or what happened in heaven or what he saw in heaven. But 1 hour and 46 minutes to be exact, or maybe a little bit more, was just nothing about heaven except him trying to deal with his life story, which is not what the audience wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because this is not the impression that you get from the title. And so after watching for an hour and a half, you start to wonder, when are they going to get to the point mm-hmm. of the movie?
So
you would, through that hour and a half, you would naturally get negative reviews.
So what you mean is that what the movie didn't cover was the 90 minutes in heaven then?
They exactly missed the point. The only yes. time they spoke about heaven was about exactly 5 minutes, I counted it, where he tells his wife what he saw. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes.
I see.
So out of 2 hours, 2 hour movie, only 5 minutes he talks about the experience, and that's about it.
Yes.
So you imagine yourself in that, I don't know, in that a place where you're trying to get to the bottom of it, and there's nothing happening, and he's like, okay, where's the movie? Like, you're missing the bigger picture here.
Yes.
Where is the actual movie? Nothing is happening. And a lot of people, maybe they would even stop watching it, like, you know, after an hour, it's like nothing is happening.
Yes.
You know, or they're trying to skip or fast forward to see what happens next.
Yes.
And nothing. So naturally it will get all these negative reviews.
Yes. But to be fair, there are several concepts that were somehow intriguing, as Brother Hussein was talking about, you know?
About the heaven movie. Itself, about the personal life of
God? No, about the movie, the whole movie, you know?
Well, like I said, the actual concept is very attractive.
Yes.
A person goes to heaven and he yes. comes back and he wants to tell you about
I
it.
See.
And obviously that's the only reason you would watch it,
I see.
Because you want these details, these juicy details.
Yes.
But then you watch the movie and there's nothing there. It's
yes.
more like about life story and what happens between relationships and other things. Yeah, mm-hmm. I can understand.
Okay.
A biography of the person himself, fair enough.
Yes.
But if you want to tell me something about heaven, give me something about heaven.
Uh-huh, I see. Yeah. Okay, let's take a break and listen to a part of the movie 90 Minutes in Heaven, and we'll be back with more questions and critiques. Don't go away.
In January of 1989, I attended a church conference in the Trinity Pine suburb of Houston, where the focus was on the growth of the Union Baptist Church Association. I went because I was seriously considering starting a new church.
We know that God is calling to us to tell others about heaven and how to go there. The gospel begins right here, right where we are. And it travels. It travels to every neighborhood, every continent. And the prize that we shall receive is heaven. Amen.
Amen. Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad. Brother Hussein, let me ask you this question about this part, which is about the propagation of God's teachings through Gospels. And basically through or wherever we talk about propagation or spread of the Word of God or religion, in general, we are talking about informing others how to go to heaven. And the prize is heaven. Is the prize of propagation heaven indeed?
Well, I mean, the act of propagating God's word is, yes, of course, it's, you know, it gives you merits.
Mm-hmm.
God always says, in terms of Islam, for example, the person who reads the Quran gets a merit, but the person who teaches the Quran gets even more of a merit because, mm-hmm, he's spreading the word of God. And the same thing goes for what you said. It essentially leads to going to heaven.
Yes, I see. Sayyid Abdullah, who tells other people to propagate or spread religion? Is it God himself that is telling them? Or the idea is intriguing enough for anybody who's like familiar with a religion or two, they like to do so.
All right, so do you want an Islamic perspective or a Christian perspective?
Both, if possible. If possible.
It is possible, you just need longer time.
Okay. All right.
From an Islamic perspective, we have a verse from the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inni ja'alan fil ardi khalifa." I'm making a vicegerent, a khalifa, a caliph on earth,
yes,
which includes me and you and every human being. Mm-hmm. We are the khulafa of Allah. We are the vicegerents of Allah on earth, mm-hmm, which means each one of us has a duty to deliver the message of God.
I see.
So the message of God is a responsibility that falls on everybody. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would choose His own trusted people, which we call prophets. They, yes, give us the message, they explain it to us, and they said, okay, now it's your job to pass it on to your kids, to your generation, to everybody. So the job falls on everyone. So we all are supposed to.
When you're talking about the prophets, I can understand and digest it because they are connected to God directly. But when it comes to other people, how can they be sure? How can they verify whatever they preach is okay or is approved by God?
Well, that's the idea, is that before you preach anything, you have to believe in it. Because there's no point in preaching something you don't believe, because even Allah would not accept it.
But believing in something doesn't make it right.
No, whether you believe in it or not, that's it. You know, the belief itself is another thing. But if you move towards it, because I think there's a faith itself, it's like a, you know, it's not something that you can just take and pass on. It has to start from within you, like it has to sink
into your heart,
in your heart and your mind.
Uh-huh.
It had to make sense to you before anything else. If it makes sense, it becomes a belief to you. Maybe from where you stand, it's not a belief. You could say, well, your belief is wrong. Because, for example, I could say to a Buddhist, your belief is wrong. I could say to an atheist, your belief is wrong. But from where I'm standing, from where he's standing, his belief is correct. Mm-hmm. So belief is a personal thing before anything else. If I become so in touch with it and I take it to heart and mind, then this becomes my belief. Then I feel the sense of the urgency, as we can say,
mm-hmm,
to pass it on to others, because I feel that Allah or God or whoever might be that I'm trying to deliver the message of, I feel like it becomes a mission.
Is this the Islamic perspective?
This is Islamic perspective as well. Uh-huh. So not just Islam, but basically
religious.
Religiously, from anyone who holds... Anyone who holds any sort of belief. It doesn't have to be religious belief.
I see.
When, for example, a lot of people, for example, they're not interested in a particular topic, but once they start researching it, understanding it, it becomes part of their life, then you see them constantly talking about it. Like, do you know about this? Do you know about that?
Uh-huh.
And they constantly... So because it becomes something that's close to them. So is with religious people, it's exactly the same thing. But as we said, from the Quranic perspective, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all of you... are my messengers.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, the message differs from one person to another, depending on your capacity, depending on your knowledge, depending on many things, right?
Yes.
But we all are meant to carry this message. From a Christian perspective, though, it's a different story as well.
Uh-huh.
From a Christian perspective, if you go to church and you learn, then you have to preach the word of God. If you're not, God loves you and all is good.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's take another break and listen to another part of the movie, 90 Minutes in Heaven. A 2015 Christian drama film directed by Michael Polish, and we'll be back and continue our program, Viewpoint.
Rumor has it that you're thinking about starting a new church.
Well, you've started so many successful churches.
It's a roller coaster ride beginning a new church. 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. It's challenging. Worthwhile, but challenging.
I believe it's time for me to start a new congregation.
I would urge you to be certain that this is what God really wants you to do, and that your family's on board with the idea. Sometimes what inspires you isn't what you end up doing. It's about finding your purpose.
Thank you.
That's it. That's what it's all about, finding your purpose. And remember, it's not about you.
I appreciate that.
Back to the program. Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. We are still criticizing the movie 90 Minutes in Heaven, and you just listened to a part of it. Brother Hussein, in that part, there is the mention of the purpose that for which the priests are allowed to start a new church. Basically, they are talking about it in the movie, especially in the early minutes of the movie. And why is it that in Christianity, everybody's allowed, like, I'm talking about the priests, they are allowed to start their own new church? It's like another whole story, you know? But we don't see it in the other religions, do we? Like an imam, for example, a prayer leader cannot open, like, a new school of thought or something.
No, but that's the thing. Can he open a new premises, or are you talking about opening...
No, they start a new church, basically. It's like...
With new beliefs, or...
With their beliefs and whatever comes along with it.
I'd have to say that, you know, Christianity, I feel, is a very liberal religion, in the sense that it's really prone to these changes that come with, you know, the modern thinking with, you know, different types of lifestyles that, you know, like it gets really affected with these type of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised if something like that happened. But I mean, you know, in contrast with Islam, for example, if you want to open a new mosque, it's just the premises. You're not actually changing any part of the religion. You're opening it for the worship of God on the you know, on the in the same curriculum and the same belief.
Okay, thank you very much, Brother Hussein. Thank you very much, Sayyid